If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's Friday. Happy Friday to you.
Excited.
August 23rd. Yeah, we're excited. We are. My man Brad Carson is here, executive producer, and Brad the boss. He is the boss around here, program director extraordinaire. He's with me. John Martin is not. He is at a wedding today. John's handling some personal business, and we wish the best, of course, because in this case, it's someone that that I know. It's his brother. Jeremy.
Yes.
And we wish Jeremy, you know, bliss for a lifetime with his new bride.
Yeah, he can That'll go happen. Be miserable I'm like the rest of us.
Not exactly sure when they will be wed today, but it is happening today. So
today is the actual wedding,
we
too.
We gave our man, John Martin, the day off today so that he could be with family and certainly enjoy that. I think you got to do that. And I think brother went to, I'm fairly sure brother was at John's wedding down in Cancun. Of course, I was in Cancun, but I didn't make the wedding. But that's a story we've told many times before. We got a lot to get to. Man, did I have a day after I got out of here yesterday. We did do that future leader savings account for Chris. How about a round of applause?
We
got leaders, over to Leaders.
Our studio sponsors.
Our lovely studio sponsors.
Yeah.
We're so grateful for that. But I've been, if you've been hearing us,
yeah.
I've been talking the last couple of weeks about getting over there, getting that account opened up for Chris. We did that.
Excellent.
Okay, made that. It's a good start to the the after work day. Okay,
right.
We're very productive.
Yep.
Afterwards, we end up going to Shoot 360, new place out there. Oh, my gosh, it's a who's who. Everybody was out there. Braylon Williams. Fred Smith Jr., all the studs and local hoops and everything else, of course, Norton Hurd. Obviously, who we have on every Wednesday, the Team Thad director and coach was out there, and we threw Chris into a league.
Okay.
Okay? We threw him into the fire.
Yeah.
Mo Miller, the former Raleigh, Egypt standout who went on to play at Georgia Tech, his son was out there, and he's already, like, he's a big dude. We threw little Chris out into the fire against some of these guys.
Yeah.
And, we ended up at Campbell Clinic.
Oh, no.
So my first visit.
Jason.
So my first visit to the brand new, beautiful 50,000 square foot Shoot 360 there in Cordova. My first visit ended with me carrying my son out of the building.
It's too painful. It's painful.
It was, Tommy. It was. So that you know, we got that was all happening yesterday. We obviously had had a lot else going on, bears and everything else. But
may I ask the diagnosis at this point? Do we have information yet? Are we waiting for
the foot is not broken?
Well, that's good news.
It's the best I can tell you.
Sometimes though, not being broken, it's
a midfoot sprain.
Sprains can be rough,
and that's
bro.
What I'm told. This doc, he said, sometimes sprains can be more painful than the actual break. Depending upon where it is in the foot, the actual break in the foot. So that was his way of telling it. Listen, we know Chris is in a lot of pain. In this case, we got the X-rays, everything. There's more to the story. We'll get to that later. But it was a heck of a day for me, certainly. Just very grateful to be here this morning. But the good news is that no break. But man, was yesterday a thing. As for the sports, we did find out after we got out of here yesterday. Now we thought as much because MPD had tweeted it out. We've got our man, apparently,
yep.
In terms of the porch pirate that took Penny Hardaway's shoes. We'll talk a little bit about it. I know it was discussed much of the late afternoon yesterday, so we won't spend much time on it. But I do still have some questions about this Hernando resident
yeah.
that apparently was the was the Grinch that went through there with the shopping cart and stole Penny's shoes.
What a weird story.
And then I'm still confused because Penny said he had 26 pairs. That's what he told WREG. But the incident report said 14 pairs. So who knows? It's just glad we got some resolution on that. Who knows? We may still have some more details. But like we've said, we got college football tomorrow. Game day, too, is back.
Wow.
Obviously, Florida State and Georgia Tech going to play in Dublin. That's exciting because it'll be a look for us at, of course, it's Mike Norvell coming off of a season in which you can argue they were done wrong, should have made the college football playoff. Obviously, it was a tragedy to lose their quarterback, Jordan Travis, when they did, which allowed the committee to hold them out. But the way last season ended, we're already rooting for Norvell anyway. But obviously, there's bigger stakes this year because Florida State's playing Memphis. 3 weeks from tomorrow, they'll be hosting the Tigers, Mike Norvell hosting his old team, and this Tigers certainly team that, you know, many have picked, obviously, as the AAC champion, but more than that, real shot at the college football playoff as the Group of Five representative.
Yeah.
So college football is here. You'll really feel it tomorrow on game day. What's
it's
that
exciting.
Sound about nine?
Good day.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's the first time in game day's existence, I think it's 40 years, that they've gone outside the country.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I would have thought that
it would at least happen once. But I read that this morning, and we'll talk about it. I saw Desmond Howard this morning talking up Georgia Tech, saying Georgia Tech brings everything back on. He was at their practice, and we know that line has gotten smaller. Was it 14.5 at one point? I think last I looked, it was 10 or 10.5, somewhere around there. We'll talk about that game day because, like we said, that's a look at a future opponent for Memphis, obviously. Before we get to all that, let me set up the show, 11:30 or so. We will talk to the great Anthony Sane. I'm looking forward to that.
That'd be fun.
Host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. We'll talk to him about the true disrespect. This was true disrespect that was ESPN having the Grizzlies ninth.
Yep,
with
that's
44 wins. Yes, ninth with 44 wins in the Western Conference. And listen, I'm a guy that says, listen, we got to have thicker skin. This was clearly a slight. FanDuel, we've talked about, has got Grizzlies season total at 47.5 wins. For ESPN to have Memphis at 44, frankly, not just in ninth place, but tied, what was it, Pelicans? The Lakers also had the same record. No, excuse me, they were tied with Houston. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember tied with Houston with the same record. And the Lakers there at 44 and 38 as well, down there in 11th. So what they're essentially saying, that the Grizzlies could be likely be a play-in team, but possibly could be out. Because, again, all they did was give you the tiebreaker over Houston and the Lakers. I thought that's true disrespect. Again, I'm not quite with my partner on feeling great about 1 through 4, but I do about 1 through 6. Finishing as a top 6 seed, I think calling the Grizzlies a play-in team is disrespect. We'll see if Anthony Sane agrees. I know, too, that his son, Gabriel Sane, who we off talked about, five-star prospect.
I saw the pictures.
He made his debut.
He looks.
And I am at center.
He looks
and
the part.
Man, they got them pads on him, and he looks like he could be in the 10th grade already.
He looks
now,
the part.
Now, we're talking 5th grade.
Oh,
that's the man-child. That is Gabe Sane.
Oof.
And he made his debut. I talked to Sane a little bit beforehand. I'm just going off, you know, some years of experience. Interview. He sounded really nervous. I think Sane was probably more nervous about Son's debut than Son actually was.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested to hear how it turned out. Like you, I saw the pictures, but I want to know how it went. So we'll do that with Sane like we do every Friday about 11:30. We'll talk plenty of Grizz. At noon, we'll do the rundown like we usually do. And then at 1:25, I'm very excited about this as well. We'll talk to, the plan at least.
This is good.
New senior deputy athletics director at Memphis, Tim Duncan.
Nice get, Jason. Good to have him.
And it'll be a homecoming because Duncan's ties to Memphis obviously run deep. Played on that 1992 Elite 8 team for Memphis that lost to Cincinnati, but thought that team was going to the Final Four, played 4 years here at Memphis, earned his degree, then goes out into the marketing world, but decides to come back after about a decade of selling, decides to get into college athletics. Spent some time, and it was around the time that Cal was taking Memphis to a national championship, as the M Club director, Tim Duncan did, and then he left. He went off, he trekked off to go, you know, in terms of getting opportunities in athletic departments, went around the country for the most part. We know he spent the last 5 years as New Orleans AD, and Ed Scott, the new AD at Memphis, has hired Tim Duncan to be his senior deputy athletics director. It's a homecoming. Tim Duncan literally was going to campus school at Memphis in the 6th grade. He's as Memphis gets. And he's one of those guys, similar to the story, real quick, like Andre Turner, who has longed, you know, in his coaching career to get back home, to get back to Memphis. And that's finally happened for him with Penny Hardaway having brought Andre Turner, the little general, back to be part of his sports. Tim's talked about it a little bit already. You never know if the road is going to lead back home. But in the back of your mind, you're probably always hoping that maybe it could, especially when you see a situation at Memphis where you've watched it.
Yeah.
And you've watched, sort of the disparity in college athletics that Memphis has faced and what it's battled to try to be one of the big boys. You know its history is better. But being a part of that in 5 in terms of resources, that part's lined up, right? You've got a defense now that is pulling in guys from two led Tennessee in tackles. I know every time I pointed it out, some Vols fans told me, well, Elijah Herron ain't nothing. He led you in tackles. And guys, he's coming down essentially 2 levels to the AAC. You're able to go out and get players like that on the offensive side, obviously Mario Anderson, but back to defense, everything is there for them to make the sort of jump, right? That again, doesn't have to be from awful to great, but awful to average, awful to right there, maybe even a little bit below average, because you've got an offense, that SP Plus and ESPN thinks is going to be a top 10 offense in the country. So you just need to complement that in a way that is respectable. My point is it's all lined up. You even had the president, Bill Hargrave, yesterday at the groundbreaking over at Simmons Bank. He said yesterday that it feels like the most anticipated season in Memphis football. And again, the anticipation is not just the 11 people over at the Athletic that are picking you. It's the way this thing has lined up. And Silverfield, again, here's the deal. You can lose it. He can lose it very quickly, okay? It's because Ryan Silverfield has not won an AAC title, right? If this year he doesn't win the title, there will be major disappointment because everything has aligned. Set aside the college football playoff. Sure, it's a goal, but the expectation is to win the AAC. I've said it, AAC or bust. That's what it is. And so if it doesn't go that way, right? Even if you get in the game and lose, maybe a little bit levels, a different level of disappointment, but if it doesn't go that way, you still don't have an AAC title in Ryan Silverfield's tenure. And then you're asking yourself, well, when is it going to happen? Did you remember everything that we just went through in terms of things that lined up? Sure, the NIL support will still be there. That's the great thing about that deal, is that $5 million is going to come through. It's not banked on performance each year. You know what I'm saying? We would be asking the question, well, if you couldn't win it with Seth Hennigan in his fourth year, when are you going to win it? And I know the recruiting looks great, and you've got a future quarterback that looks like he can come in right behind Seth Hennigan, play right away, perhaps, and take off. But will fans believe at that point that you're the guy, right? You'll have to talk them into it. And so my point of saying that is that you give Ryan all the credit in the world for the way he set this thing up, the way he finished last season, the way he kept Seth Hennigan, what he's done in the transfer portal with these new resources. He has set this thing up to take off, to win the AAC and possibly be the best thing outside of the Power Four. But if you don't seize it, Brad, it's not necessarily the same as it would be in other spots where you had won a conference title. You've got a little bit more equity built up. And, Brad, you can point back to it. Oh, remember a couple of years ago now, we won that thing. You guys, you've got that to fall back on. For as well as he's done and putting Memphis in this position, there is a ton to lose if you're not winning an AAC title. Again, it's the expectation. There's nobody left in this conference, guys, to point to and say they got more than us, or they got a better coach than us. They got, they get better players than us. You can't do that anymore. Even down at Tulane, they're working in a new guy. You look around, I don't want to hear this, I love Trailer down at UTSA. They're replacing their 7-year quarterback. Yours is coming back for a 4th year. Respect the mess out of UTSA, but this is your year. And so there will be no, not after this year. I'm so excited because it does, whether it's these experts, whether it's the way we feel, because it feels like that opportunity is here, and it feels like Memphis is ready to cash in. Don't you feel that way?
I do.
It's not just anticipation, like hope. Yeah. Oh, gosh. No, you're loaded, and you, frankly, you should roll to this thing, and it should be fun to watch.
You covered all your bases on this. The one thing that I don't want to hear...
What'd I leave out?
The one thing you left off is something that can happen after a Florida State game, because we're not expected to win that game. I would not expect us to win that game. Most people are... It's a free shot. We're trying to win everything else. If our team gets injured, I don't want to have a situation like Memphis basketball last year where we're talking about a player that now, if it's Hennigan, it might be different. But we have depth there, too. What I'm saying is, I also think there's one final thing we should put the cart before the horse for Ryan's future and for this program. I do not want to hear about injuries after week two or three. I don't want to hear it. I think that also should be thrown in the pot.
Whether it's injury or any other thing you want to point to, it's
nothing.
Not going to work.
Because there should be nothing.
You should be deeper.
Nothing.
Right? And I will say, there are still some question marks about who would play behind Seth Hennigan.
Yeah, is it your...
Whether Cade Cunningham's one of them. We know nothing
and
there.
And I don't want anything to happen. I'm saying it's football.
And it can
happen.
Now, listen, for Florida State, it was awful last year.
Yes.
I mean, losing their quarterback at the time they did. Like, everybody felt that, but I'm with you on this, that even, in the tragic case of Seth Hennigan went down, I mean, you lose...
I do not want that to happen. We need him, but... Like, I can just – this was the thing that frustrated the hell out of
me after
that
pass. The hope is you got good enough quarterback play because you're good enough at every other position that you could still win this AAC that – listen, nobody's checking for it. Nobody's saying this is going to be one of the best conferences out. Everybody's expecting you to run away with it for the most part. And so I'm with you that
– No excuses.
Yeah. I mean, you went down to the bottom. You went at the extreme that if Seth goes down,
it's going to be tough. I don't mean to go there.
When Jordan Travis went down, we knew it was over for Florida State.
That's
different. Even though some of us said that they still deserved a shot, we knew that everything, it was over at that point.
It was over.
Let's just not lose Seth Hennigan. How about that?
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. But
I would say to that is any other position for sure. No excuse, Seth. Right. That one's going to be tough to stomach. But you could argue. Listen, you needed to have more behind it.
That's where I'm going.
With the resources that you've got. That's not going to happen. Seth's avoided injuries. Hopefully,
that's fair.
He's going to continue to do that. I believe. Man, I hadn't even thought of that scenario. What you put that even into the air for?
I don't want it to happen, but it's football,
it's hard.
Jason.
Again, if your fourth-year quarterback goes down, the guy you depend on, it's going to be tough to...
I don't want it to happen.
It's football, for folks to expect an undefended AAC season.
The excuses with these programs is infuriating as a sports fan, though, because last year it happened with basketball. We've seen it every friggin' year, it seems like. It's a big thing, and it's like, I want to take all the air out of the balloon when it comes to excuses for these programs.
I mean, if you want to go back to that, I mean, you could argue that that's why you have to get your backup situation just as ready as you do your starters, because and even more so in this situation where you've got such a chance.
You could say you have a millionaire backup.
Where you've got
you have a chance to win it all. You have a backup that's paid millions of dollars.
So whichever one it is, whichever guy it is, and I'm not aware, he may have already announced who the official two is.
Yeah.
Whichever one it is, hopefully they're ready to play. If that should that occur, my hope is that you're not going to get that. Don't wish that Florida State stuff on us.
I don't. I'm not wishing voodoo here.
Yeah. Memphis football, 11 of 28 experts or panelists over at The Athletic have got Memphis as the AAC winner and the Group of Five representative. So it's not just us that feel pretty good about Memphis's chances here to be in college football playoff. And theirs, they've got Memphis taking on Oregon as the 12 seed, Oregon the 5 seed. Oh, man, what a day it would be. Memphis in the – well, I don't care whether they're playing Texas, Oregon.
Yeah.
You're in the college football playoff. It'd be a different feeling than anything we've experienced. We got Anthony Sane coming up here after the break. Before we do that, I want to tell you, you've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. They've got something a little different for you this time. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Again, just $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket. You're not going to beat that. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account, a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to download America's number one sports book. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSmith. It's only on FanDuel, official partner of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
889-9789. Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. Make sure you're checking it out. Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multiple prospect Gabriel Sane, who I believe made a debut last night. And follow Sane on X at Sane Asylum. And you got a new one dropping today, don't you?
Yeah.
New Anthony Sane Show.
Yeah, check it out on YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts, anytime later on today. Check it out. Very interesting stuff going on, man. I have my guy Evan Hayes, who's a member of Asylum Media Group. Young man I'm very proud of. He co-hosts a show on Bluff City Media with my guy Chris Ingram, the No Bluffing Podcast. They come on each and every Monday. I can't remember the time, but they come on each and every Monday. But they have a very good show. Evan is 20 years old, and he's got a show on our network with Chris Ingram. He's a guy from Memphis, goes to school out of town. But I'm telling you, you want to say who's up next, it's him. Like, put your radar on him now, because he's going to be
nothing at 20.
He's incredible, bro. He's really, really good. He's on my show today as a guest. He's a track and field athlete. He's got a voice for radio and a face for TV, for sure. Like, most people don't have that, but he's good. He's really good. And he's on my show today. And we'll talk about a lot of things today. Memphis Grizzlies stuff, of course. He's a big fan of Noah Lyles, so he's pleading Noah Lyles' case.
Fan of yeah. Noah.
He's a track athlete, so that's his man. Okay. That's the guy for him. Yeah. So he made some interesting points, so we had a good discussion about that. But Evan's going to be on. But we opened the show today, Jason, talking about what is a bizarre news story that doesn't seem to be bizarre enough for me. It seems like this story should be, like, bigger than what it is, right? The fact that...
And that story is.
The fact that Penny Hardaway had somebody rob, steal shoes off his porch, and now we're trying to find those shoes throughout the city of Memphis.
Yes, we are.
And this is Memphis, man. Like I say all the time, Memphis is Mayberry, and that's not saying anything derogatory towards Memphis, but we're a big, small town.
Biggest small town in America.
And with that being said, nothing happens that people don't know about. Like, you know, if something happened in Memphis, there's the story that's on the news, and there's the barbershop story, or there's the neighborhood story, or there's the, hey, I actually know that dude story, like that, and it moves fast, right? So there's, so basically we talk about that today, because there's some rumblings that have came back to us about these shoes and the hands that have touched them, and where they could possibly be, and the way that we found this information and the things that we talked about today are very interesting.
Y'all
need to run Penny's
shoes. Make sure you listen to Sane's show.
Yeah, y'all need to run Penny back his shoes, man. But check that out. Just type in Anthony Sane's show on YouTube or on Bluff City Media's YouTube, whatever you do. Check that out anytime today via podcast, or you can watch it on the YouTube show. You can see this handsome face.
I must ask what you thought when you saw the pictures of the suspect. Because there's one thing we imagined, and then it wasn't what I imagined.
I know I'm giving y'all a preview of the show. I'm not going to give y'all too much, but I will tell y'all this. My friend Kenny Stubblefield is a white man. We do the show
white
together.
Man. And this was a white man that stole these things.
Right. And when I heard the story, I was like, oh, here we go again. I got to defend Memphis, right? I got to defend Memphis, right? So when I saw who it was, when I saw this Joe Dirt looking dude that had
Joe Dirt
had a shopping cart with boxes stacked up high full of stolen tennis shoes.
42.
Yeah, it was that. I'm not gonna say I breathed. I was breathing with relief, but I was. I was like, finally, it wasn't us. But yeah, that's not who I thought it was gonna be.
Penny must really want him back too. I mean, they were exclusive, but you could call Nike and just have them do it again, right?
I think it's not only are they exclusive, I think that Nike literally made those four Penny.
Oh, yeah, and his family, apparently.
Yeah, exactly,
I think that's what he told WRG.
Yeah.
Now, he said 26, and it was, his report said 14. So.
But think about this, man. Like, how often is Penny probably getting shoes shipped to his house? It's probably like Penny probably treats mass orders with Nike shoes like we treat Amazon. Okay.
Well, then he's been hit before because, again, what killed him on this was the delivery driver that dropped him dropped the packages outside the gate. Like anybody, but most of those rich houses in there, you can go inside for the delivery folks and do it at the port. But with it outside the gate,
yeah.
Hernando Man could take it.
But there's an interesting story going around of how those shoes got in certain people's hands and where they are now, and we'll talk about some of those things we've heard on the show today. And it's a pretty hilarious conversation, bro. It's pretty hilarious.
I mean, just it don't get any more Memphis except for the fact that
it's wild.
It was a Mississippi.
And this is one of those prime examples that show you
bringing that crime up here,
right? And this is one of those prime examples that shows you that Memphis is a big small town. When you hear details of this story, we're a big small town, bro. And stuff that goes down here,
Value that the police listed has to be the $2,100 has to be wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Those shoes
retail.
Well, retail for that, but these shoes are not selling retail.
No,
so the value is way higher on them. Their price way too. They had to be for Penny to go after.
Y'all get Penny's shoes back, man. Y'all let Chandler Parsons go free in Memphis, man. But y'all messing with Penny Hardaway. What's wrong with y'all, bro?
Come on, man. Yeah, stop stealing.
Stop stealing,
man. Especially y'all folks from Hernando coming up.
Yeah,
here.
And we going to call that man a thief, too, man. You're not getting a cool nickname like a Porsche Pirate, dude. You're going to be a thief. Yeah, we calling you what you are, man.
Nothing but a common thief.
Yeah, we're not calling you. You're not getting a cool nickname, man. You ain't a swashbuckler, bro.
I suspect
bro.
He has done that
you,
before.
You're not a buccaneer, family. You a freaking thief, man.
He looked like he's shopping that neighborhood all the time is what he looked like. Grizzlies. Something I thought was true disrespect yesterday. ESPN having them with 44 wins and basically tied with Houston and the Lakers in the 9-10-11 spot. They gave the Grizzlies a 9 spot for tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But they're essentially saying you're playing or you could be out like they had the Lakers. This felt like true disrespect.
Man, to everybody, Grizzlies fans, to all that type of stuff, media members, I say this. Go on FanDuel, place your bets, get your free money off these folks who think we're going to win that many games.
Now, FanDuel got 47.5. Yeah, They have more respect for the Grizzlies than ESPN does.
I think we're an easy 50-win team this year. I would take that bet, too.
I think will get you in the top six, according to what they've, you know,
and I think that's easy money to take the over. They're saying 47 games. And I think this is a team that, if they're healthy, they're going to play with a edge. They're going to play with a chip on the shoulder. I think the Grizzlies are a team who there are certain teams like Dallas. I think Dallas is going to be a good team, but I don't expect them to be a good regular season team. I don't expect them to come out trying to be a good regular season team.
You don't think they'll be better defensively and that'll be sustainable just since the trade? They were a better team after the trade.
Yeah, but I feel that
historically, you don't
ready to crown them. They've never been in the top tier of the teams in the West, like regular season. I don't think Denver's going to be there. I think there are only maybe two. I know Oklahoma City probably values being in the top three, and I think that they're going to try to get there. I know we will. I'm trying to think who else would.
Minnesota value that, won't they?
Yeah, Minnesota will. I think us three, the only three teams, are really just going to try to.
Yeah,
like we're going to try to be the best regular season team we can be.
I think it's us, all three of them.
I think it's us, OKC, and Minnesota. I think because of that, we'll be there. I think we'll be in that top three, top four range. And I think thinking that we're going to be a 47-win team, I think that's nuts. Unless you're literally banking on injury. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to say I get it, but the reason why these people are saying these type of things about the Grizzlies is pretty clear. Like, they don't believe in Zach Edey. Like, there's no way you could believe in Zach Edey and think this is what Memphis is going to be. These are people who don't think we replace Steven Adams or don't think we got someone in that can do Steven Adams type stuff.
Yeah.
And that has to be the way you look at this. Or a person who doesn't believe in G.G. Jackson or not really aware of G.G. Jackson or doesn't believe in Vince Williams. You have to be one of those type of people. But even with that being said, man, if you're talking about a team that's got John Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Marcus Smart, that team is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
good six man in Brandon. I mean, yeah. the rotation, really.
Because we've seen this team.
Up to 10 is pretty good.
Right. We saw this team be really good with Dylan Brooks, who's a much more sporadic player than Marcus Smart is. You know what I mean? And I think that Marcus Smart has a higher floor as far as not making the mental mistakes that Dylan Brooks would make, you know, routinely. So I think that team within itself should be looked at as more of a 44-win team.
You clearly do not believe there will be a necessity to make a move like Dallas to shake it up at the trade deadline.
I don't think so.
You think it's already going to be
good. I think Zach Edey is a better player than Derek Lively is. I think that he's going to be a much better day one center than Derek Lively. I mean, he's been better than Derek Lively at every level. As far as college has been,
The skill level doesn't compare in terms of offensive.
I think he's gonna be really good, bro. And I think the video that we saw of him and Ja together.
I was gonna ask you about your takeaway.
Yeah, seeing he slimmed down a little bit, seeing him working with Ja, and I know people are saying like, well, it's kind of staged, right? You know, because Ja's got like his cameraman there. I mean, fine. But Ja still made the initiative to make a phone call and got Edey to buy in to come in. and they're putting in work. We saw the highlights, and you have to know the lowlights aren't in there, but I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in those lowlights that were learning moments and stuff where they really built some type of bond. And I don't know if this is a one-day thing. I don't know if they've been doing it all this week, but that
They got that common thread of they're on the same team, but Trey
Draper,
and how well he knows Edie, and he's already on Ja's training team.
Yeah, I think it's.
And you throw
I think
that together. He's hopefully it was multiple days.
I hope it was. I hope they're still doing it right now as we speak. That would be dope. But it's super encouraging, man. Here we are, a little bit over a month away from training camp starting, and you've got what if you take any two guys and say, okay, what two guys on the team are most important for the Grizzlies? We saw a glimpse of it. If Ja and Edie works, everything else is going to work offensively. If Edie's healthy and you can make, and Ja's healthy and those two have good chemistry and that pick and roll duo works, everything else on the court will be fine offensively. Your half court offense is gonna hum if you can get those two going. And if Edie doesn't work, you're in bad shape, period. No matter what else you got going on. But if you can get those two on one accord, you're going to be fine. If you get those guys going.
It feels like there's been this, maybe there won't be a ton of offensive change, but you made changes for a reason.
Right? I think there will be some changes.
In terms of the new wrinkles with all the staff changes and everything else, you think that's going to look, the changes we'll see more offensively, right? Based on how bad the offense was last year, based on who they've brought in, that's where the majority of them would be, right?
And when you say guys you brought in, you're referring to assistant coaches.
Yes.
I think they've done a great job as far as overhauling that assistant coach crew. And
how much different you expect it to look? A lot, or tweaks here and there?
With the personnel you have, there's certain things that they won't look a ton different. But I will say this, though. I have to take my own words back on this, because something I've said in the past is that, the Grizzlies just don't play through big men. I would not be surprised if we don't see the Grizzlies. I'm sorry, I said too many double negatives. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Grizzlies use Zach Edey offensively more than we probably would have thought 6 months ago. Like if somebody said, hey, the Grizzlies are going to have a big man that's able to score like JV did a few years ago, I'm like, that's not happening. They're not doing it. I would have hung up the phone or somebody called me saying it. But I would not be surprised if we see the Grizzlies use Zach Edey in sets because they do it anyway. They do it in the pick and roll situations where there's a dump off to Steven Adams, but nothing really happened. Either he got fouled and he missed free throws or he kicked the ball back out. Mm-hmm. But I think if you run a pick and roll with Ja and Ja's man gets trapped under Zach Edey, that's going to be a layup. You know what I mean? It's going to be 2 points. And I think there's going to be a strategy of theirs to get Zach going, because I think he's just a guy. He's too skilled not to be. You know what I mean? And that's one of those things where people say, I think he's going to get played off the court during the playoffs, right? And my thing is, if he's a guy that's a scoring threat, he's not going to get played off the court.
It becomes more of a half court game in the playoffs.
Exactly. I've never understood that logic.
And that's people where say, he could actually
yeah, he
help
could
you
actually
even more
destroy
when
teams
things slow
playoffs,
down,
right.
Because that's what it is
right.
in the playoffs.
Because nobody wants to. Nobody in today's NBA. I had this conversation in the barbershop a few weeks ago, and I said the thing that makes today's NBA so difficult to defend as opposed to the NBA we grew up on is that you cannot double-team the post in today's NBA, because teams have too many guys that are capable of knocking down not just three-point shots, but just mid-range shots. You can't say, okay, I'm just not going to guard this dude. Like, you can't do that anymore, bro. Like, there's not a – shout out to Tony Allen, but there are not many Tony Allens in the league who offer you nothing from the perimeter. Like, those guys just don't exist anymore in the league. Those guys don't make it on rosters, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that a guy like Zach Edey in today's NBA, and you're talking about a dude who had 3-4 dudes guarding him in college. You cannot do that in today's NBA. And I think that's something that, if the Grizzlies take advantage of it, I really think a lot of our fans are already considering the fact that we may just run a lot of stuff through Zach Edey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're talking about a guy, he's 7'5", bro.
he just had everything ran through him at Purdue. So that skill set is there.
It's there,
right?
But it's there if you need it.
It'd be silly not to tap into it in points.
And I'm going to throw out the wildest homework question to everybody. I'm sure we're facing out of that particular question. I'm going to throw out the wildest homework question I've probably ever done. I'm going to throw this out. Y'all can say, Sam, you sound crazy. But I want y'all to take your weekend, take your good, eat well tonight, get some sleep tonight, and then come back and give me an answer Monday. I'm going to ask you the same question. Brad Carson. Zach Edey, right? What is the difference between Zach Edey's story and Tim Duncan's story? That's all I got. I don't want to answer now. Call me about this Monday, but just tell me the difference between those two dudes.
Swimming.
Hey, they both had altered sports, right? That they were doing. They were wasting their time playing the wrong sport.
What was Edie's?
It was baseball or something.
It was baseball.
Yeah, dude was what? 7'5" Zach Edey was a baseball.
It is so bananas, Jason.
What's the difference? Like, tell me what's the difference between Tim Duncan's story and Zach Edey's story? I don't want to answer, man. You gonna give me an emotional, quick response. I want you said take your weekend.
He wants us
take
to really meditate on it.
I don't need to meditate.
We have to meditate. That's
now,
the exercise.
I'm ready to answer. I'm ready to answer. Yes.
I'm not saying.
But I'm gonna do my homework.
I'm not saying.
Do your homework, bro.
I'm not saying that Zach Edey is Tim Duncan.
You can't be saying
is,
that.
What I'm saying is we're really downplaying how good Zach Edey could be. Like now, you know what I mean? You're talking about a guy that was 2-time. National Player of the Year in college basketball, one of the most dominant college basketball players we've ever seen. And we've had people who should know better and probably do know better question, should this guy even be a second-round pick? Or should he even be picked in the first round? All right. And I think that guy's going to show you how we really overthought this dude. Because I'm not a college basketball guy, right? You know I'm not a college basketball guy. I'll watch Tiger basketball games when they're watchable. You know what I mean? I'll watch that and that's it. I ain't watching nobody else. So I listen to people who say, Zach Edey, he's not a pro. I was like, okay, he ain't a pro. So, right? So I asked him to watch Zach Edey. I'm like, what in the world are y'all talking about? What am I missing? I just saw this dude drop 40 in the national championship game.
He improved his stock greatly with the tournament run and the combine. He improved his stock.
And I'm like, I'm not listening to none of y'all guys who are supposed to be smarter than me no more. I'm just going to watch basketball. Because listening to y'all, you just don't know what you're talking about. There's no way in the world that dude can't play in the pros. Like, there's nothing about his game. There are big men like him that are as agile or less agile than him throughout the NBA, and they're fine. You know what I mean?
I don't think anybody on our station is saying otherwise.
But there's a lot of nutcases locally and especially nationally who think that Zach Edey can't play. And I'm finding more and more guys who have a brain and have two eyes or four eyes that sound rational, but there are still a lot of people that are hanging on to.
What about the injury stuff? That's the question.
I think that's basic. We saw him not get injured at all in college basketball for 4 years, and I think and the injuries that he got in the summer league, if those were real games, he would have played through those injuries, bro. Yeah. Like, I mean, but there's no reason to do that in the summer league. I have no concern as far as him and injuries.
Yeah.
With Anthony Sain, host of the Anthony Sain
show. But y'all got homework, man.
We'll do the homework.
We'll put it down.
New show drops today, Sain, talking about what's going on with Penny, Grizzlies, everything else.
Got to talk about my kid.
That's where I was going.
Thank you, brother.
Yesterday, we made our debut in the Reform Sports Fall Basketball League. We ended up at Campbell's. I'm hopeful that your son's debut on the football field went a little bit better.
Yeah, because that was one of my concerns, because you were talking about CJ got hurt, right?
Yes.
Gabe has overactive tear glands, right?
This man said overactive tear glands. I thought you were going to say a real condition.
No, as do I, right?
I understand.
Me and Gabe are both wired where, like, if I laugh hard enough, I don't even gotta laugh hard. If I get to laughing, I'm gonna start crying. Gabe is the exact same way. And I've heard people, I've joked with Gabe, and Gabe started crying. People's like, "Oh, you're being mean to him." Like, no, that's just how we react to laughter. Like, we laugh and we start crying. That's just how we are.
It's an emotion.
That's a good trait.
And if something bad happens, I start crying. Gabe's the exact same way. Like, our tear ducts are jacked up, bro. Like, we just cry. Like, I don't particularly have any emotional investment in something, I just start crying. It's just how I am. And Gabe's the exact same way.
Okay.
And he's a pretty sensitive kid, too. And if Gabe would have got hurt in a situation like that, Gabe would probably still been on the ground crying right now and shoot 360, right? So when you were saying that story about CJ, I was like, crap, I hate that for CJ. But I was like, yeah, that's what I'd be worried about. I'd be worried about something happening and then Gabe's like,
I wasn't even looking at
him. And Gabe's like traumatized because he's out there, you know, whatever. Because kids are like, oh, Gabe, you know, this big kid down there crying. So I'd be worrying about that type of stuff, like something happening crazy, and he just
gets your boy is a man-child, and he was out there busting.
But he's still a big crying dude, like, at the end of the day. he's still 10, you know what I mean? So anyway, when I took Gabe home Sunday, Gabe was saying, Dad, my throat itches. Like, my head is hurting. Like, I feel like I'm getting sick. I was like, oh, crap. So, as a trifling dad I am sometimes, I immediately took him to his mom, right? So, took Gabe home. And I gave him some medicine, I took him home, right? At least I gave him the medicine. At least I didn't just take him to his mom undosed, you know what I mean?
Some contribution.
Right? So, I gave him some medicine. I gave him the appropriate medicine. I gave him, like, antihistamine. I gave him, like, some NyQuil.
Oh, yeah.
The DayQuil version. And I gave him some Echinacea, which is an herb that's good for your immune system. So I got him.
Oh, you had him straight.
I got him straight.
So they can get mama love.
It took him to his mama, right? Yeah. So, right. So, So then Gabe don't go to school Monday. And, yeah. and on the way I was taking him home Sunday, he was like, Dad, I hope I don't miss practice because coach said, if you don't
miss practice,
you don't start. He said, you don't start. So I'm like, oh, crap, I'm feeling bad. Then I'm thinking, what could I have done so my son didn't get sick, right? So I'm like, I'm starting feeling bad. Because Gabe likes to sleep, like, with nothing on in the bed, like, with nothing but his underwear.
Well, you're telling too much because he's a minor.
I'm old school, so I'm like, I believe in, you know, cover yourself up or put a shirt on yes. or cover your head, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I believe in all that, even though people tell me that's not true. Like, all right, I believe you covered up, it helps you not to be sick, like, if you go outside, all this type of thing. So Gabe doesn't really subscribe to that. Gabe goes out with shorts on in the wintertime and all this type of stuff, so... No undershirt, and I'm like, that's why you're sick. Anyway, so Gabe, he's like, oh, I hope I'm not sick because I can't start if I'm sick. So not only was he sick, if I don't go to practice, not only was he sick, but he missed school Monday. So I'm like, oh, crap.
We're not starting.
So I talked to his mom again Tuesday. He misses school again Tuesday.
Oh, we might not play.
Right. So the game is Thursday. I said, Stephanie, I really hope that Gabe is fine and can go to work Wednesday because he's really concerned. Go to school Wednesday because he's really concerned with not being able to start Thursday. So he goes to school Wednesday. I said, I hope that's enough, right? So, yeah. he went to practice Wednesday.
One out of three.
He went to practice Wednesday the day before the game. So it's game day. And then so he's good. I didn't know if he was starting or not. So I came down there and Gabe's warming up with the offensive line.
Dressed up.
And the game starts. Because Gabe told me he plays both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't know what position I am on defense, but I'm not in front of the ball. So I'm like, okay, you're probably a defensive end. Because he's like, I'm not. Matched up with the center, I'm off to the
side. Not the nose tackle.
Right, so I'm saying, okay, you're probably a defensive end, right? So
if it's a 4-3, he could be.
Oh, he could have just been
interior lineman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, right. I said, well, okay, Gabe, if the center's here, is it like two of you and then two other people? He was like, yes, it's two people beside me.
They're running, right? It sounds like they're running a 3-4 and he is the nose tackle.
No. He's saying he's not the person lined up against the center, but he's not also one of the two people in front of the center. So that means he's an end.
More like a tackle, like a defensive end?
No, the tackles are the two guys in the middle, and mm-hmm. the ends are the guys on the outside.
Yes.
I think Gabe's on the outside.
We think Gabe's on the outside. He's an outside pass rusher.
I might be wrong. I might be told.
I would have him at tackle.
Exactly.
I'm probably
misunderstanding what Gabe said, right? So I'm like, all right. So when the game starts, Gabe's not on the defensive line, so okay. I'm nervous. And I'm not the parent sitting in the stands. I can say Jack on the radio. Huh.
The jackass?
Yeah, I'm not the jackass. Like I'm the jackass is like on the – walking up and down the field,
screaming.
Following the ball. I'm following the ball, yeah. right?
I'm There's not a whole crew of y'all.
I've seen him at games.
I've seen him.
I'm not sitting in the crowd, bro. Mm-hmm. Like I'm standing on the literally there on the field, following the ball to watch everything going on. So Gabe's not in the game, so I'm nervous. Gabe's standing up to the side. He's pulling his socks up. So I'm like, man, Gabe ain't.
So he's not playing.
I'm thinking Gabe ain't starting.
Thinking, he didn't.
And then we got the defensive stop. There's no punts in little kid football. They just advance the ball 35 yards.
Okay.
They do an imaginary punt.
That's good.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. They just yeah.
running down.
Yeah, we're not trying to take somebody's head off.
Nobody can punt the ball, probably.
Yeah.
That
so,
dude.
Right. So, fourth down, you just say, we're punting. We advance the ball 35 yards.
Transition.
Right.
I gotcha.
So,
offense.
So, Gabe comes in the game.
Yes.
Here comes Gabe.
Okay.
I'm the tear ducts are boiling,
oh,
right? Which is another reason why I didn't sit with the people, right? So I'm down there trying to, because my daughter's there, like Sabrina's there, Stephanie's mom is there. I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to follow the ball, right?
Yep.
So I see Gabe, I get my little moment. I meant to record it, forgot to record. I took a picture and forgot to record the first snap, right? So Gabe's in center, he started. And he was like, Dad, I'm nervous because like if I think about it too much, I get bad snaps. But if I don't think, I snap good, but I just can't stop thinking about it.
He's already got it figured out if he knows that.
Right, I said, Gabe.
He knows.
Right.
Yeah, the difference.
I said, Gabe, you'll be fine. So
that's right.
He's snapping, no bad snaps. I'm like, I can't look because if Gabe gets a bad snap and messes up a play, they're going to get mad at him. And Gabe hates when he lets people down. So they're getting the shotgun. I'm like, gosh.
Oh, wow.
This is a true
long
skill
snap. Okay.
So he snaps it. It hits the ground, boop, bumps up in the quarterback, careens it, right? He's good.
Excellent.
So Gabe had no bad snaps the whole game. He did a pretty good job blocking. And we beat the crap out of Harden, man. 26-0. Man, don't play with my son, man. We're not playing with you. Ain't nobody.
St. Dom's Ripper.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.